Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verses 1 to 8, verses 14 and 15, and verses 21 to 23. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication and theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Well, God, we pray that our hearts and minds would be open enough to take in your word, that it would work its way down deep into our hearts and minds, that it would touch our spirits, that it would heal our broken places and call us from the places where we have grown comfortable, so that we might be your people, so that what flows from us and from this place may be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray that you would speak in me, through me, and if need be, in spite of me. Amen. I've been wondering which it is. Is it that what we consume changes us from the inside? Like what we take in changes us from the inside, and eventually what gets changed on the inside comes out in the things that we do or say? Or is it that what comes out is evidence of what was already there on the inside? And that we don't really know what kind of shape our hearts and minds are in until we see the kind of things that we say and do. Some would tell you, for example, that, you know, seeing particular images of violence or images of sexuality, that those things might desensitize you to what you might otherwise recognize as extreme behavior or destructive behavior, and they would lead you to even act out these things in your real life. Some people have suggested that this is true about video games and about movies and about television. I remember us talking a lot about it when the Columbine shooting happened, and we talked about the violence that was prevalent in our culture. One researcher says that by the time a child finishes elementary school, they will have witnessed about 8,000 murders on television. And by the time they turn 18, they will have witnessed 200,000 acts of violence on television. And that doesn't really even account now for the internet or video games, which are mostly our kids' primary mode of consumption rather than television. So the question is, can you consume that much violence in the form of entertainment and not lose like your natural human aversion to violence? And maybe some of us can consume that, watch every episode of Law and Order, and never entertain the thought of killing someone. And maybe some of us can't consume that and have it not affect us. So the question is it what goes in that defiles a person, or what comes out? And how do we know the difference? These days we consume celebrity culture, reality television. And fame is an end unto itself. Andy Warhol was the one who said that he thought in the future everyone would get their 15 minutes of fame, and now pretty much everybody does. You can be famous for being a tyrant to your children and letting somebody film it. You can be famous for having an uncommon number of children in your family and letting somebody film it. You can be famous for being rich and being spoiled and acting like a child toward other rich, spoiled adults who act like children and letting somebody film it. You can be famous for being famous, which is about the only explanation I have for the Kardashians. And I'm writing this over the week and weekend and thinking that I sound like an old person. Just going to go home and start yelling at kids to get off my lawn. But what we're consuming at an incredible rate is the notion that outlandish and even destructive behavior can be entertainment. And that it's worth engaging in that behavior because it can bring you fame and it can bring you fortune, and that sometimes it can bring you, you know, money and notoriety that come with being ridiculous. And those are more important than all the other consequences, the fame and the fortune are more important than all the other consequences that come with that behavior. And so what happens to us when we consume the notion that notoriety is more important than achievement? That being famous is more important than having done something to be famous for? That getting your name in the news or get your name trending on Twitter, that this is a desirable thing, and that the easiest way to achieve that is to do something bigger or more ridiculous or more destructive than the names that are up there right now. So, which is it? It's a chicken or egg kind of question. Is it that consuming this culture is making us sick, or is the fact that we have this culture so prevalent in our society a sign of our sickness? Now, I didn't just, you know, pull this out of my head. I don't think about this stuff on a daily basis. I started thinking about this stuff because I read this week's scripture passage, and then I was sitting at my desk when Vester Flanagan walked up to three beautiful people doing their jobs, living their lives, lives that we have found in the days after that were full of promise and full of joy, and he turned on his camera and he started shooting. The police were looking for him, and the time that the police were looking for him, he was on social media posting video of what had just happened. And then I went deeper into it last night. I started reading about the details about Sheriff's Deputy Darren Goforth in Harris County, Texas. He was refueling his vehicle, and he was shot in the back for no apparent reason other than the uniform that he was wearing. Did you know that for 2015... we are averaging more than one mass shooting per day in America? More than one per day. This country accounts for 5% of the world's population and 31% of its mass shootings. The four other countries that are significant contributors to the world's number of mass shooting are Russia, Yemen, France, and the Philippines. If you add all four of those together, they don't approach our total. And so this is what is flowing from the heart of America. This is what is defiling us. And so the question is death what we're taking in, or is it what we're putting out? So Jesus has this long list of things that defile a person in the heart of God. And he says all of them come from the heart. They come from within. And that's a heck of a list if you listen carefully. Because there's some stuff on there that, like, you figure would probably be there. And then most of that stuff is the stuff that you figure is talking about somebody else and not you. But then there are things like envy on the list. The feeling of discontent that we feel when we long to have what someone else has. And there's things like deceit on the list when we try and convince someone else that we are other than what we really are. And then these are all on the same list that Jesus gives, which means we all got put on it. And the Pharisees are worried about what you eat and how you eat it. They're worried about ritual purity laws. And Jesus has to give them an anatomy lesson. It's a first century anatomy lesson. And the lectionary carves out this portion. I didn't actually read this portion. I don't know why the lectionary cut it out. Maybe it's just a little too graphic. I don't know, for most people's taste. But what Jesus says is that what you eat goes in your stomach. And your body uses what it needs, and the rest of it ends up in the sewer. And he says, that won't sour your spirit. But all the stuff that tears away at the life that God gave us, that stuff comes from the heart, not the stomach. And it flows from the center of who we are. If you eat with dirty hands or you eat with clean hands, if you eat with the right food or you don't eat with the right food, you can do all those things, but if your heart is sick, it doesn't matter. And it's still not really physiologically correct, right? I mean, the heart itself, we use heart to talk about something other than what the heart muscle is. We talk about the heart as being the center of our being, the place where, you know, we hold our identity. But really, the heart is a muscle. And it's not far, I don't guess, because the heart actually does what? It pumps life to the rest of the body. And so if the heart is sick, it pumps sickness to the rest of the body. And maybe it is true that some things you can take in without taking them to heart. Some things you can take in without taking them to heart. Maybe that's true. But the question, I guess, that we now need to wrestle with in a culture, in a country where we have more than one mass shooting per day, these are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Is what is it that we have taken in that has us putting this out? Because somewhere along the way, what we have taken in has changed or shaped the heart of who we are. And now what we're seeing is not isolation. It's not exception. It is the rule. And so we have to deal honestly with the fact that what we see is defiling us, is a product of what is in our heart of who we are. Because we've tried to be a people, we've tried to swallow being a people who solves its problems with violence. We've tried to swallow being a people who solves our problems with drones and with smart bombs and with lethal injections. And hoped that swallowing that wouldn't make us be a violent people. We have tried to swallow being a people who participate in violence for sport or for entertainment. We've tried to swallow that in hopes that it wouldn't make us a violent people. We have tried to be a culture that lives by the sword, or in our case, by the gun, without dying by it also. And what we are finding is that the sum total of this has changed us, has shaped us, has made us who we are deep down inside. One article, so I had this question, I'm wrestling with this question because I keep seeing these things and they keep making me sick and I keep not having an explanation for them, and I'm looking for how has this happened. And so one article I was reading said, you can't pick out just one thing, and that's the problem when we have these conversations, because everybody wants to be able to blame one thing, and there's not just one thing. You don't get to this place with just one thing. It's not just one thing that you eat, one thing that you take in that makes you sick. The article said that one is the startling distance between what Americans expect their lives to be and their actual achievement. That is, the distance between what we believed our lives would be, the American dream that we believed was inevitable for each of us, and then we get to a certain place and we realize that the distance between what our lives actually are and what we imagine them to be is so great, and we don't know what to do with that frustration and that angst. And the second thing they named was the rising thirst for fame in our culture. And the third thing they named was the prevalence of gun ownership in a country where, in a lot of places, it's easier for you to have a license to operate 2 tons of machinery at a high velocity within several feet of your neighbor, we call it an automobile, it's easier for you to get a handgun than it is for you to drive that car. So you take in all these things, you consume them into the place where you define who you are and how you are and what you want to be, and it stands to reason that this begins to shape who you are. And maybe you can begin to take it in and not have the goodness of what is there be overwhelmed, or maybe you take in something that begins to prey on a weakness that you didn't know was there. Or maybe you take in something that has a strength and a power over you that you didn't realize it would. Or maybe the sheer volume of what you consume eventually becomes overwhelming. So I'm not the TV police, I'm not the media police, I'm not movie police, I don't care really what you listen to, what you watch. Because they can be what they are and they can still be benign. What I'm saying is that you are the steward of what you take to heart. You are the steward of what you allow to dwell within you, what you allow to shape and mold you deep within your heart. And I'm saying that you have to be a careful consumer of what our culture produces. And I'm saying that this is why we come here. Because when you walk out there, there's a fire hose of stuff being aimed at you for you to consume. And it's all stuff that if you take it in and you take it to heart and you let it shape who you are, then it will shape what you do and what you say and how you are. Because you walk out there and there's a fire hose of racism and homophobia and classism and sexism and name calling and sick political rhetoric. And all this stuff is xenophobia. All of this stuff is there for you to consume. And some of it you'll take in without knowing it. So the question is, what are you consuming here so that your heart might be shaped otherwise? So Jesus said, the Message Bible translation has a different way of looking at the scripture. And I don't want to be crass, but if you thought the stomach and sewer stuff was earthy, this is even more earthy. The Message Bible quotes Jesus as saying, it's not what you eat, it's what you vomit up. And that's an apt metaphor for what America is vomiting right now. And so the question when we come to this place is, what will shape you? We come to witness one whose heart is so fully formed by the love and the grace of God that the world turns its fire hose on him, and yet it cannot corrupt his heart. So like, Jesus lives in a world where they try to solve their problems with two sticks and three nails, right? And he takes on our violence and will not return it in kind. He takes on the world's fear and he will not live in a posture of fear. He takes on the world's judgment and he will not live with others in a posture of judgment. And so we come here to be shaped and formed by that example, so that we can know what it means to have hearts fully formed by the unconditional love and grace of God. And if you don't think that our culture needs some people with hearts formed by something that can bring wholeness to our world, if you don't think that our culture doesn't need you to have been here to have consumed something different, so that what comes out of you becomes a visible alternative to what the world is vomiting on us all the time, I don't know what else will come across the news. I don't know what else will trend on Twitter. I don't know what else, what other headline we'll grab to make us understand that now is as crucial a time as ever to guard your heart and to take in what really matters, to take in what can shape and form you into the likeness of Christ. So the world can have something more than waste to live on. We can live on every word that flows from the heart of God. The bread and cup of this team will shape and form us as His people. I wish I could talk with Jesus and I could ask Him about this, because He says, it's not what goes in, but what comes out. And I just want to argue and say, yeah, but what goes in must come out. What are you going to let in? And what are you going to give out? Amen.